The reading is from Micah 5, 1-4, which is on page 933 of the Church Bibles. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labour bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Right, thank you, Annie. Okay, well, are you listening? Are you listening really careful? Let's just be quiet for a moment. Sorry, are you waiting? Are you waiting for me to say something? Yeah, all right, okay. Waiting. That's what we're going to think about for a moment. Who here likes waiting? Lots of shakes of the head. For instance, who likes waiting when they're really, really hungry? Who likes waiting for mum and dad to make the tea? They certainly don't in my household. I think I'm probably the worst for that, to be honest. What about if you're going on a long, long journey? Who likes waiting then to get there? Or do occasionally those little words, those forbidden words slip out? What are those forbidden words? Are we nearly there yet? Yes. None of us, if we're honest with ourselves, really like waiting too much, do we? And as adults, we're the same, whether it's waiting for a bus or waiting in a supermarket queue or waiting there in a traffic jam. We all hate waiting, don't we? And yet, at this time of year, we find ourselves waiting for Christmas, don't we? Waiting for all of those things that we thought about earlier. Waiting for a Christmas food, for instance. Look at that. That makes you hungry, doesn't it? I must admit that I've had a little bit of Christmas food already this year, thanks to various members of the catering team here at Surrey Chapel, various bits of turkey and Christmas pudding over the last week. Who else has had a little nibble already? Yeah, of Christmas foods. Yeah, we do, don't we? We can't wait, can we? We can't wait. What about presents? Who here is waiting for presents? Yeah, quite a number of us. Okay. Who's got a Christmas tree like this one with all the presents there underneath it at the moment? No, probably not quite yet. I think most of them are probably still hidden away at the back of the cupboard. Shh, don't tell the kids, okay? And then there's the Advent calendar, isn't there? And we looked and thought about the Advent calendar last week, where the countdown begins right at the beginning of December. And then we have to wait a whole 25 days for Christmas to arrive. And it seems like ages and ages, doesn't it? But of course, the very first Christmas that there ever was, that was the longest wait of all. Annie read from us a moment ago from the book of Micah. Now, Micah, he was a prophet, and God promised Micah that Jesus would be born at Christmas. But the incredible thing is that Micah lived 700 years before Jesus even came. Now, does anyone here know, any mathematicians amongst us, Derek's not here this morning, any mathematicians, do you know how many days are in 700 years? A lot. Yeah, there are a lot. I got out a calculator earlier on to work this out, and I worked out that it's 255,675 days. Now, that is an incredibly long time to wait, isn't it? In fact, I just want us to see just how long it was. I've got a rope here, and I just need two volunteers, one at each end, to hold this rope. Daniel, okay? And, up the front you come as well. So if, Daniel, you come this end, great. If you hold this end, that's great. There you go. Do you want to come up on the stage, Daniel? That might be easier. And what I need you to do is hold it really, really tight, okay? Fantastic. Right, so hold it nice and tight. There we go. Fantastic. Right, now I've got some pictures here that... Yeah, it's not a tug of war, boys. Could have chaos, health and safety. Yeah, be careful, that carpet moves as well. Okay, now, up this end, we have got Micah, okay? This is Micah, as we can see on the screen, and he's there. So Micah here, all those years back. And then, a few hundred years later, the Israelites, they got taken into slavery, okay? They were taken to Babylon, and you can probably remember Daniel from the Bible, yeah? Well, he lived during this time, and he was taken into slavery as well. And then, about 70 years after that, they came back from slavery, okay? They came back from Babylon, and they came back to Israel. And they started to rebuild the walls. You might remember Nehemiah and people like that. But then, a few hundred years after that, came this man. Anyone know who this man is? Alexander the Great, that's right. He came along, and he, along with the Greeks, I think, attempted to rule the world at that time. So he came along then, and then following him were these guys. Who are these guys? Who do they look like? Romans, okay, so they came along a few years after that, and then came this guy. Who's this guy? He looks a bit mean, doesn't he? Herod, yeah, Herod the Great. And then 700 years of history had passed, and then came Jesus, okay, there he is, born in zero. The year zero. Okay, so hundreds and hundreds of years had gone, and it had been an incredibly long time. But God had promised all the way back here that Jesus would be born. And he kept his promise, didn't he? All the way here. 700 years later, Jesus was born into the world. Okay, lads, thanks very much. You can lay that down now. Great. Thank you. Thanks for your help with that. Okay, so having thought a little bit about the person, let's now think about the place. You see, Micah, in our Bible passage earlier, he said, didn't he, that he would be, this Jesus, this baby, this Saviour, would be born in a town called Bethlehem, didn't he? But this wasn't any old Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but I've always grown up going along to church, singing the songs and hearing the Christmas story, and I've always been familiar with the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But Micah doesn't stop there, does he? Micah goes on to tell us that he was born in the town of Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Okay? Ephrathah. Now, you might be mistaken for thinking, as I was over the years, that that word Ephrathah was put there in order to trip up lots of people who have had to do the reading at Christmas ever since. I mean, over the years, I must have heard that word pronounced many, many different times, and who knows which one is really correct. I think we're going to go with Bethlehem Ephrathah this morning. But for years I thought that it was just put there in order to trip people up and cause them to stumble over it at Christmas time. But then I realised that that's not actually the fact, the reason for it. The fact is that there are more than one town called Bethlehem, okay? We've got Bethlehem there in the south near Jerusalem. Can you see it there in the red? And that's the town that Jesus was born in. And then we've got another Bethlehem right up in the land of Zebulun at the top there near Nazareth. And they put that name there in order to distinguish between the two. And they did that especially because they're pretty similar towns, really. Because there was nothing remotely special about either of them. Because you see, when you're, we're told in that passage that, that Bethlehem, Ephrathah, is small, it's not, as we might often think, actually referring to its size. It's not saying that it was a little town. It's really talking about its status. It was lowly and it was weak and it was despised and it was very unimpressive indeed. In fact, that Christmas carol that we often sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, you know, if it were to be rewritten for the very first century, then I think they would have probably changed the words to something like this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, but I'd despair if I lived there. In fact, I'd rather die. Because it was a place that nobody who had a choice would want to go to. No one wanted to live in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. I wonder if you know that in the UK every year there's a certain website that produces a list of the worst places to live in the UK. Do you want to know what they are? I'm sure you do. Okay. Well, apparently, no, it's not Blackpool. Poor old Blackpool. They got lights and everything there. Apparently, the worst three cities in this country are number three, Luton. Okay, it's probably why so many people fly out of it. Then Kingston upon Hull. Okay, and then number one is Dover. Dover is the worst place to live, apparently, which to a man like me who comes from the Garden of Eden, who comes from Kent, is quite hard to swallow. But you know, Bethlehem, it was even worse than even Dover. The fact is that no one would ever choose to go there. And the point is that it's to this despised and mocked and ridiculed town that everyone likes to make fun of and laugh about. It's to this small town of Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that the world's greatest ruler is going to come from. So why did God choose Bethlehem of all places for the birthplace of his son, Jesus Christ? We know it's so that no one would boast. It's so that no one would be able to say, well, oh yes, Jesus, the great Messiah, well, he was born in our great city. No, he didn't. No, he wasn't. He was born in little old Bethlehem. Well, oh yes, Jesus, well, he was born in my hotel, you know. No, he didn't. No, he wasn't. In fact, he wasn't born in a hotel at all. No one gave him any room. He was born in a lowly cattle shed, in the stable of all places. And you know, the message for us in all of this, and this is what I want you to take away today, the message for us in all of this is that Jesus came from an unlikely place like Bethlehem in order to save unlikely people like you and me. You see, God didn't come to save those who think they're somebodies. He came to save the nobodies. He didn't come to save the proud and the righteous, those who think they're good enough to go to heaven because of their good attendance at church or their many good deeds. No, Jesus came to save the humble, to save those who have messed up in life and are willing to admit that and then ask him to forgive them and help them. Ask him to give them a fresh start in life. That's who Jesus came to save. So as we close, let me ask you this Christmas, have you done that? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Is your hope in him? Because as Micah shows us, at just the right time, in just the right place, Jesus was born. And I believe that God has put every single one of us here this morning. He's put us here at just the right time, in just the right place, in order to respond to him, so that we might believe in that Saviour who was born in Bethlehem.